The Brad Cessnat Show, broadcasting live.
Off we go into a new week. John Wilner will be with us today. Our regular Monday segment, Wilner Hotline, all things on the college football scene. Love having John come on board with us. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, that is Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. I am still not recovered from the World Series, if I'm being completely honest about where I'm at. I put so much energy into that last month, traveling around and seeing the team and focusing on content and just seeing where they're going to go. And then it's the off season like that, except it's not. Tomorrow at the Omni Hotel in Scottsdale, the Omni in Scottsdale is the site of the general manager's meetings in Major League Baseball. And that means there'll be lots of 20-somethings just getting out of college wearing bad clip-on ties, hoping to become the next broadcaster for their AAA team or Class A team, which is fine. I'm not making fun of them. It's just the business side of sports starts up. I'll get into that in a minute. I was sitting with my wife yesterday watching the Cardinals game. I sat here in the office on Saturday and watched some of the ASU game. And I've said to myself, and I've said to you, but if you're new to the show, God created a DVR for a reason, okay? Saturday was 78 degrees, and it's 11 a.m., and I'm sitting here watching ASU just get destroyed by Utah. Like, what are you doing? And then yesterday, about 11 a.m., I'm sitting here watching the Cardinals game, which was just, I was texting a friend who's a big Brownie fan. Like, this game is setting the game of football back years. I don't know if we've had a worse weekend of football from one of the colleges. Like, I watched the U of A game Saturday night, and they controlled UCLA from start to finish. It was pretty impressive. What Jed Fish is doing is very impressive. But I watched with dismay how bad the Cardinals were yesterday. Like, when you go through some of this, if you missed it over the weekend, you didn't miss anything. Let me just give it to you this way. The Cardinals were able to generate 58 yards of offense, 58 total yards, running, throwing, 58 total yards. They had 48 plays for the game, offensive plays. Cardinals had 48 offensive plays for the game. Do you know how many of them made the offensive plays beyond the 50-yard line trying to go to the Cleveland end zone? Five. Five plays out of 48 were beyond the 50-yard line. Five. Toon was sacked seven times. The Clayton Toon era. I was talking to another friend yesterday during the game. Like, I could do a, give me a headline on Toon. Off-key, whatever. There's a lot of play on words around the last name of Toon, especially when the team's just getting their ass kicked. So while the score was 27-0, it was just, and neither team was good. Like, if you think Cleveland's good, Cleveland was not good. They weren't good. And so that game just set the game of football back forever. And I was kind of mad at myself that I got suckered into sitting there and watching that live because it was so bad. But hey, it's what I do for you. It's what I do when I sit here behind it. It's what we do on the website. It's what we do when we put out content. It's like, let's just make sure that we watch every last. No, this is where we're going to DVR this bad boy. Like, when the Cardinals play the Falcons, if you think for 1 minute I'm going to sit there and chart every play, you're watching the wrong show. If you watch that stuff start to finish, it's supposed to be, again, beautiful next weekend. Now you're going to watch two birds get together that aren't good? That's up to you. It's your entertainment dollar, but man, there's no entertainment there for me. I will watch it because it's my job, and watching that game will be a J-O-B job. It will just be dreadful. Like, we really should start doing now the path to the draft. We do path to the draft every January. We do it on the website. We do it in the TV show. We should start doing path to the draft now. Because the Cardinals, the way the path to the draft is going, they have their one, they have Houston's one, they could have the first pick, They could have somewhere around 15 or 16. They could have somewhere around 32, 33, or 33 or 34, I should say. They're going to have upwards of six picks. There's actual interest in what's going to happen. The draft is next April in Detroit. We should start doing it now. Because what are you really going to get out of, well, Kyler's going to play against Atlanta. Man, that's going to make me tune in. They're 1-8. And they're just, look, there's 1-8s where, you know what, they're going to get better. They're getting reps. Like Arizona State football got their ass kicked on Saturday. They did. But what I see out of them is a program that, believe it or not, is getting better and better. They're having some unfortunate, self-inflicted because of inept incompetence by the administration through all the years. And now it's come back to roost and fans are all upset. Oh, Kenny can't coach. Kenny can coach. Kenny can coach. It's, you got to turn over the roster from the guys that aren't wanting to be here anymore, because there's some of those. There's some guys that just simply aren't that talented. There are some players that probably aren't being used the right way because out of necessity, they've got to move in position or play some places just so they can field a team. It's like Arizona State's more interesting to me than the Cardinals are. Cardinals yesterday, no Michael Wilson. I'm interested in him. I think he's been a pretty darn good draft pick. Really do. But I'm not going to sit there and watch DJ Humphreys jump off sides a couple of more times and say, we're seeing progress here. I've seen that movie through the years. And yes, he went down with an injury. And yes, he's a warhorse and all that stuff. But when it comes down to, well, the referees blew a call on the Cardinals, which they did, but that has no bearing on the final score. Yeah, there was a big play. There was a big pass play where the referees clearly blew a call. Clearly blew a call. Doesn't mean the Cardinals are going to win. Oh, you don't know that. Yeah, I know enough to know that they couldn't protect Clayton Tune the rest of the day. I think, you know, the U of A being ranked in the top 25. Remember, those of you that thought it was really cool and funny to put up a billboard that said 70-7 to remind U of A how you own them, I would just like to know where you are today. Just like to know where you are today. I'm not a U of A fan. I'm not an ASU fan. I don't give a rat's what either one does. I just sit here and look objectively down the middle of the field. And if you're one of those that thought it was really cool and smart and funny and look at us, you know, we're pitchforks up, where are you today? I'll tell you, in a couple weeks when you play them, you're going to get run over from the way that it looks. Yes, it's the rivalry game and all that stuff. But U of A is ranked in the top 25. I'd say of the football programs in America right now in Division I, Arizona State would be ranked in the bottom 25. Not being harsh, being factual, if we're just looking at talent top to bottom and all the stuff that's going through. And it'll change. The pendulum will swing back. No, the baseball stuff is interesting to me with the Diamondbacks. I'm far more interested now in the Diamondbacks offseason. Bob Nightingale wrote that they're interested in Justin Turner. They're going to pursue Justin Turner. I would like for them to pursue Yamamoto, the pitcher from Japan. I really would. Probably going to go to the Mets. I think there's some direct ties to Corbin Burnes with the Milwaukee Brewers and the Diamondbacks. I wrote about this over on my 3-Dot Thoughts on the website. I think Corbin Burnes makes a lot of sense for the Diamondbacks to pursue. He'll be a free agent after next season. But I think after the arbitration world that he went through in Milwaukee, the thought of him re-signing with the Brewers is not happening. The Dodgers will go after Ohtani. They may get Ohtani. The Angels may get Ohtani. But if I'm talking about the National League West, when was the last time the Giants secured a top free agent? Didn't happen with Aaron Judge. Supposed to happen. Didn't happen. When was the last time they got somebody like Ohtani to go to the Bay Area? So I don't see that happening. Padres, they've got Soto, Bogarts. Are they going to trade him? How much money do they have to get off their payroll? Is Hader going to leave and go to the Rangers? So there's a lot going on around the hot stove league, as I like to say. And if the Diamondbacks bring Justin Turner in here and plug him in at third base, I am all about that. I don't know what Ken Kendrick is willing to do in terms of something like Yamamoto, who's 25 years of age. Remember when Tanaka came out and the Diamondbacks were going to get something in with Tanaka and then it didn't happen? To me, if you're able to go get a left-handed starting pitcher or go get a front-end guy like Yamamoto and find a way to do that and plug third base, I don't believe you really need to do much. Then Cody Bellinger becomes available. Cody Bellinger is a free agent. Cody Bellinger looks like he had a bounce back year in Chicago. His agent is Scott Boras. Cody, of course, went to Hamilton High School. You bring a hometown kid back here, puts people in the seats, a lot of interest. At first base, you have Christian Walker, who didn't do much at the plate consistently in the postseason, but he's a gold glove first baseman. Good guy, has developed himself all the way through. Cody Bellinger can play some outfield. Do you have enough outfielders? Do you need more pop in your lineup? Would Justin Turner give you enough pop within your lineup? Is Christian Walker Dave Kingman light? That's my joke with a good friend of mine. Often we talk about it. So it's not like I'm going to sit here and say you shouldn't go pursue Jordan Montgomery, who's going to be a free agent, who the Diamondbacks went after, or Blake Snell, who's a Boros client. He's going to want moonshot of money. I'm not down with that. I like seeing where the young arms are. There's some other young arms that this season ended up getting hurt. I just feel like this offseason is very interesting and it gets started right away. One other thought on the weekend, and then we'll take a break. About Josh Dobbs. Cardinals, a week ago, Josh Dobbs plays. Well, didn't really get it done here. The coach says last Sunday, he's going to be our starter. And then Monday, we're not sure. And then they trade him. And he goes to Minnesota without any reps, without any snaps, and leads them to a victory. Meantime, Clayton Tune. Nothing personal with Clayton Tune. It's just, can the Cardinals get it right at some point? I don't think so. I love what the general manager's done. Might have been that the owner was in the space of, we need Kyler to play. Might have been. I don't know. I think anybody who says, well, this is how it went down, doesn't know. They just think they know. That's dangerous. So there's that too. And college basketball gets started tonight. Looking forward to that. John Wilner is next. Let me take a minute to talk to you about Goodwill, though. As we go into the break here, Goodwill, when you're sitting there at this time of year, cleaning out your closets, getting ready to pull out the Christmas decorations, the holiday decorations, and you remember you have that bag of shoes or athletic gear that's been sitting in your closet and you're like, I thought we took this out, honey. Or maybe it's just that time to declutter. Think of Goodwill. Yesterday I drove around a couple places and I saw two places. Santan Valley's got a Goodwill. Where I live out in Gilbert, there's a Goodwill right down the street from us. So there are a lot of places, over 100 places around the valley where you can make your donation to Goodwill and help those out that may be looking for that pair of shoes that your kids wore in fourth grade soccer, fifth grade soccer, sixth grade soccer. And there's that single mom out there who's saying, how are we going to afford to do this? There's that family out there who's struggling right now. How are we going to afford to do this? It's where you can help. Goodwill. We appreciate Goodwill and their support. John Wilner's next. As promised, Wilner Hotline. It is Monday. It is a time for John and I to sit here and sit around the campfire and chop things up and say, wow, you know, John, when I told you at the start of the year that Jed Fish would be coach of the year, and when John told me at the start of the year, yeah, and USC's defense will be one of the worst in the nation, and we kind of nodded with each other in agreement, because of course we can make stuff up here in November of what we said back then, because that's what we do. We don't really do that, but John, if I would have told you those two things would have happened, you would not have believed me. Am I right on that? Or,
well, I wasn't convinced USC's defense was going to be very good. Now, as bad as it's been, a little surprising, yes. But, you know, they didn't change a whole lot from a unit that wasn't very good last year. So that's not a shocker. Arizona's performance, you know, every year – there is one team, at least one team in the Pac-12 that provides a big upside surprise, mm-hmm. and one team that has, you know, call it downside disappointment, right? And this year, it certainly appears with three games left, Arizona is the team with the upside surprise. I think most folks, myself included, expected something in the 4-5 range, yep, win range. You know, maybe things, you get a couple of good breaks, maybe you get to 6-6. Certainly did not expect 5-3 right now and a 4-2 record in conference. I mean, they're in the race to get to Las Vegas. Whether they can make it or not, I don't know. That, I mean, the Utah game is going to be huge, right, for that. But they are in it. They are one of six teams that has a shot to get to Las Vegas to play for the conference championship. If you were voting right now, I think I certainly would vote for Jed Fish as coach of the year. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could make the case Kalen DeBoer. He's got the only undefeated team, right? And Kyle Whittingham has certainly done a great job. But Fish is in the top group for sure. You know, their defense has been a huge surprise. I think it's the most improved unit of the 24 offenses and defenses in the conference. Arizona's defense is the most improved. And certainly, who would have foreseen that Noah Fifita would step in midseason and lead the team the way he's leading the team, play with the efficiency and poise of a veteran? You know, that you never want to see kids get hurt, but you do wonder where the Cats would be if Jaden Delora had not gotten hurt.
Yeah, I mean, I'm watching them the other night against UCLA, and they controlled that game.
They did.
It was just one of those games that just, they went about their business. It was very methodical.
Yep.
And, you know, I understand where Utah and Washington and USC and Oregon are on everybody's screens this week. I get it. That's how it should be. But you said it earlier, and I'll go back to that. The path for U of A to make it to Las Vegas for the championship game, their path looks pretty simple from a scheduling standpoint right now, John. It's not like they have a lot of road traps left.
No, they don't. I mean, beating Utah is going to be the big one. And, you know, you never know about the Territorial Cup, right? I think they should handle Colorado this week. But the only way they can get to Vegas is if Oregon loses, mm-hmm, or if Washington loses twice. So to a large extent, it's outside their control. I mean, Oregon's playing lights out right now. But Arizona would need to win out, and then the Ducks would have to lose once, or the Washington would have to lose twice. And then you get into the tiebreaker formula. And the fact Arizona and Oregon didn't play each other makes it much more complicated. So, I would give their chances of getting into Vegas right now at, I don't know, 20%. It's not very high, 15-20%. But if you had asked me 2 months ago, I would have given you 1%
or right.
0.1%, right? So that is the position relative to what we all thought is exponentially higher.
Well, and you go back to the overtime game against USC. They're that close, John. That's the thing that's shocking to me.
They're that close. Well, right. And the Washington game was one touchdown.
Right.
I mean, and they lost in overtime at Mississippi State with 5 turnovers by their offense. They're pretty close to being 8-1.
Right. Right. And they're ranked this week in the AP poll, which never happens. For like, tonight's the start of U of A basketball. And you know how it is. You've been there. Like, football season is just kind of sort of something to do to pass some time until they play hoops. And it doesn't matter if they're playing Sonoma State or they're playing Duke this Friday, which they are. Basketball is king in Tucson. And I'm just curious if this will change. You know, Jed's tried everything. The team is winning. Are we in a different climate now in Tucson where, you know, if a football program's good 20 years ago, so what? Who cares? 10 years ago, so what? Who cares? You know what? Maybe we are a football town now in Tucson. Maybe things have changed.
I'm skeptical. Yeah, I think that the only way that could happen, I think that real change on that front would require Arizona winning at a high level for multiple years in a row, right? And the thing is, the move to the Big 12 to me would work against the move to become a football school, because the excitement about joining the Big 12 is the basketball,
right?
It's
right.
Kansas and Baylor and those series, right? So I don't know. You know, we've seen Arizona, you know, every so often, right? It happened 2014, won the South. You know, sometimes it's 6, 8, 10 years, but you get an uptick, right? Where Arizona is relevant in the Pac-12, but it isn't sustained. And I think it needs to be sustained, right? That's what Lute did It was sustained excellence, right? It wasn't like Lute was going to the NCAA tournament once every 4 or 5 years. He was there every year. And so I think if you're going to get a foundational change in the way Arizona fans view their two teams, football has got to win multiple years in a row at a high level.
And Lute had a personality about him. Jed does not really. He's on the low-key side from my view and having dealt with him a little bit. And you also have to go back to all those players that Lute put in the NBA and how close they were and how they always came back. And a guy like Steve Kerr could be the leader to all those players to say, we've got to, when things are rough, we're going to dig in, we're going to be there. Richard Jefferson puts his name on a gym. There's just a lot of things that obviously have to go that direction. I'm just curious if it could ever be, or if it's just, nope, it's always going to be like KU football and basketball. It's always going to be like Duke football and basketball. Right. That's just how it's always going to be in Tucson. Yep.
Well, or Connecticut, Syracuse, Indiana. I mean, there's no school that's a football and basketball school, really, right? I mean, look at UCLA even. They're still basketball school. And you look at the football schools and their basketball programs aren't able to get a whole lot of traction. It's really hard to be both. And the other thing is, and certainly, you know, this is probably a verboten topic in Tucson, but if Jed Fish does keep winning, is Jed Fish going to stick around? Because
he's
at a basketball school, right?
Yep.
So, and are they going to pay him enough? I mean, and those things all that, but that's a good problem to have. That's a good debate to be having in Tucson sports bars and all that, because that means Fish is making an impact and raising the quality of play.
Yeah. And in about 2 weeks, and yeah, I shouldn't even say that. Even now, you and I both know there's jobs that are coming open and headhunters have already reached out and lawyers and attorneys are already greasing the skids. It's not 2 weeks. I'm wrong on that. It's not. It's now. It's like it's almost, you know, when you see fish, you see blood in the water around the Sharks, like Texas A&M's job coming open, you know there's going to be a lot of people saying, at least get your name in that because you're going to get a raise. That's how it works.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. And the thing is, I don't know that Fish is ready to jump to a blue blood, but you know, there's a lot of football jobs out there that he would probably view more favorably than Arizona, right? I know he clearly has a passion for Arizona, but and this gets back to what we were talking about. Arizona is a basketball school, right? Mm-hmm. And that there's nothing wrong with that. And it has worked in Tucson since what, 1984 or 83. But if you're good in football, then you're facing the realities of having to pay to keep your coach. I mean, Washington, the best example right now in the Pac-12, right, is Washington. Obviously, Kalen DeBoer is grossly underpaid. And, you know, there's going to be some big jobs open. And the Huskies are going to have to decide, are we paying Kalen DeBoer $8 or $10 million a year? Or are we going to let him go? So, like I said, it's a good problem for Arizona to have because that shows Fish is making progress.
John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes. You can follow John over on his social medias on X at Wilner Hotline. His content on sports360az.com, and it's out there on a national basis. Is USC going to come open for their head coach?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, you know, I can't imagine Lincoln Riley's going to go to another right? You don't go to another college if you're the head coach at USC. You just don't do that. I don't know that the NFL is going to work for him. If you're an NFL team, why do you think Lincoln Riley is necessarily better than Cliff Kingsbury? And that experiment failed, right? They're a lot alike. High offense, they can't get their defense solved. And I think until Riley shows that he can produce a quality defense that is good enough to get to the playoff, I don't know why an NFL team would take a chance on him, to be honest with you. But you never know. I'm sure he's looking, right? I mean, it's only going to get harder for them next year in the Big Ten, right? If he can't solve their issues on defense. And I don't know, right? They're at the point now where the negative recruiting on defense is going to potentially impact them, right? Why would you go to USC? They don't care about defense. That is a tough stigma for a head coach to snuff out.
But John, I guess I'm going down the path, and I probably should have phrased it better, of is he going to survive?
I know. Oh, you mean get fired?
Yeah, this year. Because look, the USC alumni base, they don't like to be embarrassed. They don't like to lose to Notre Dame. They don't like to go about their business in a way where we have everything in place. And they don't care about the size of the check. They don't. There's a new athletic director that's there at USC. They are easily one of the most underachieving teams in the nation this year. And there really isn't anything out there beating UCLA. So what here in a couple of weeks? They've been humiliated. So, John, I'm just curious. They've already fired Alex Grinch, which should have happened a long time ago. Is there enough push, do you think, that Lincoln Riley could be pushed out the door at the end of this year? Because I think Harbaugh's going to get shown the door at Michigan, I think. I think USC could come open. I think Texas A&M, there's no question that's going to come open. So I'm starting to look at the jobs. And if Washington, if Kalen DeBoer is not paid, that job's going to come open because he is going to go to Michigan or he would go to US. I just think there's going to be a trickle down where USC should be a point of conversation and not just, well, you know, they just hired him. Well, I mean, Caleb Williams is sobbing on national television. How do you put that in context if you're a quarterback being recruited by USC versus anybody else? You don't.
Well, I mean, you know, Lincoln Riley could turn around and say, I got Caleb Williams a Heisman. He's going to be a first-round pick or number one pick. And Jalen Hurts and Baker Mayfield, all those guys. I cannot imagine a scenario where he gets fired after this season. Even if they lose to Oregon and UCLA and they finish 7-5. He won 11 games last year. They played for the Pac-12 championship game last year, and I think they probably were a year ahead of schedule in 2022, right? And now they're back to what I think what's happening this year is kind of the performance that a lot of people expected last year, right? They were going to have a ramp-up season, and then they'd be really good in year two. Instead, they were really good in year one and a little bit of a fallback. I can't believe that they would make a change to be at his pay grade. And everything that he's done in terms of turning the program around, that is hard for me to believe. But if they don't get it fixed by the end of next season, then I think it'll be interesting. There's going to be an enormous amount of pressure on him to hire the best offensive coordinator he can find, right? Absolutely. Jimmy Lake, the former Washington head coach and defensive coordinator, who I think is still on the Rams staff. That, you know, that's an example of a name that could come up. But that's going to be the big thing is, hey, you got to hire we don't care what you're paying. You got to get somebody who can provide us with a quality defense. Because if he does that, they're going to be hard to stop. The guy knows how to coach offense.
Okay, a couple things to get you out of here. Utah, Washington, who you got?
I have the Huskies, but I think it'll be a close game. Washington's defense isn't good enough. It's not like Oregon's defense is not good enough to shut down Utah's offense consistently. And Utah's defense is pretty good. I think that'll be a very close, fun game. But I do think the Huskies will, you know, they got the home field. That'll help.
Oregon going to wax USC.
Oh, I think so. To me, Oregon's playing the best in the conference by far. It'll be interesting to see how USC's defense responds with the change of defensive coordinator.
Right.
Is there a sense of relief? Are the players, you know, a little bit freer, unburdened? But I don't see how, even if they are, how they're going to do against the Ducks. I think we're going to win. To me, it's a question of whether that is a 10-point win or whether that is a blowout.
Okay, last thing, Arizona State gives Kenny an extra year on his contract, and they keep Brian Ward as defensive coordinator. Two moves that are way under the radar screen for a program that got their tails just destroyed up at Salt Lake City. However, okay, you and I are both on the same page about everything that's gone on here and all the nonsense within the program. But I would say that in the last 10 months, that ASU has hit their stride more than they've missed. They totally missed on how they informed Kenny about the bowl ban, Dillingham. But I do think little things do add up. And I think Kenny's had them playing hard. Utah started rolling downhill, and that was the end of it. Quarterback got injured. They just didn't play well. They had some breaks go again, all that stuff. But I do think, John, there is a little bit of, are they trying to get through the forest now? I know they still need the other shoe to drop. Does that mean anything to you that they're able to keep a respected defensive coordinator and add a year on Kenny's deal?
No, I think giving Dillingham a one-year extension was a mistake. I think they should have given him a three-year extension.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely. To me, he's done a great job keeping these guys together through an incredibly difficult circumstance. It was going to be a difficult circumstance before the bowl ban with the roster turnover and the NCAA stuff looming and the new staff. The fact that he's got them with two wins, and I think they could end up with one more, and playing hard every week. I mean, Utah, think that stuff happens, right? I mean, that was next level stuff happening, but still it's stuff happening. And you know, with the injuries, you can kind of see how it would get to that point. But look, if you're an ASU fan, I don't know how you can complain at all about what's happened under Dillingham. And I think you've got to be encouraged that once all of the external stuff settles, that your program is in good hands, and it's in the hands of a guy who cares deeply about it. He's made smart decisions with his coaching staff. I don't, you know, to me, he's the right guy for the job. I just get back to 3 years ago, next month, was 70-7, right? And what's happened since then? And that is all about the administration and management of the program, right? I mean, completely. And ASU fans have every right to be frustrated with the administration, happy with Dillingham, encouraged about Dillingham, but just beside themselves about how the program's been managed administratively.
So I love having John Wilner on every week because he drops a nugget or two or five, and like he did in this segment. I'll let you go off that. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
It's John Wilner. You can find him at Wilner Hotline on his social media channels. Of course, his content on sports360az.com. And we're back with more after this timeout.